Time and again, the book of Hebrews reminds us that we are so blessed. We are so blessed compared with Old Testament believers, for example. Blessed because we live this side of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We're blessed because, unlike the Old Testament believers then, we have the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Not just the promise of a Savior who would come, but the fulfillment of that promise. All God's promises to us in Christ, yes, and amen. And that's the whole point of the book of Hebrews. It's the point of Hebrews chapter 11, where the Old Testament men and women of faith are set out for us. None of them received that promise. None of them saw the Messiah, the Christ, come. And yet they believed, they trusted in God's promises that the Messiah would come. And now we live in the age of fulfillment. We live in the age where the Messiah has come, which is why God's plan for us is described then as better. We live in the age of the Messiah, the age of fulfillment, the age where we await now God's final outworking of his glorious plan with the return of Jesus Christ the second time into this world, where he'll come without sin and to salvation. So Hebrews chapter 11 and reading down into chapter 12 speak of this better plan of God, this better time in which we live, as a time when men and women begin the Christian race and then keep running the Christian race. So the Christian life is compared to a race. And here it is in chapter 12, verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If I was to ask you, who is the fastest man, the fastest runner in the world at the moment? Some of you would know the fastest runner. You know who it is? Who is it? Who? No. The fastest man is Usain Bolt. He ran 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. And then there's another sort of race, a marathon race. A marathon race is just over 26 miles long. But a Kenyan runner called Eliud Kipchoge ran a marathon in Vienna last year in just under 2 hours. When I was thinking about that, 26 miles in just under 2 hours, that means every mile in just under 5 minutes for 26 miles. I was thinking, if I ran a mile in 2 hours, I'd be happy. But 26 miles in 2 hours. Wow. Well, why am I mentioning runners? Well, because of this race that the writer here talks about. The Bible compares the Christian life to a race. Let us run the race. How do you start the Christian race? I was talking about this to the boys and girls. You start by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by entrusting yourself entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from an old way of life to him, a wholehearted, a whole-souled response in faith. You trust in Jesus Christ. So true faith is not just a religious emotion. I mention that because there was a lady who spoke with me about what it meant to be a Christian. And she had attended a church. She was in a different country from her home country. She was missing her home, her family, her friends. She was in this new country. She went along to a church service, and the people began singing a Christian song in her home language. And as they were singing the song, she began to cry. And when I talked to her afterwards, why had she been crying? She said to me, well, I was crying because I was so homesick. And the song and the language, it reminded me of home. And I started to cry. But the people said to her, because of what's happening God is working in your heart, you become a Christian. Now, when I said to her, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about what Jesus has done for you. Who Jesus is. And what has he done to save you? Well, she said, I don't know anything about that. You see, there was a confusion. The emotion she meant, she felt, even if it was a religious emotion, that wasn't faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does involve knowing who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you, as revealed in the gospel, the Savior who lives the life we cannot live, a perfect life of righteousness, died the death we deserve to die on the cross, bearing our sins, and that through faith in him, we receive a righteousness from God, which is not our own, it's by faith, and we are cleansed, forgiven. God's wrath against our sins was turned aside by Jesus' death on the cross. Now, if people aren't aware of that, that's not a religious emotion, is not necessarily faith, not true faith. But then neither is true faith just a mental assent, just saying yes to a system of beliefs. Are you a sinner? Yes. Do you believe in that Jesus died for sinners? Yes. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yes. Just saying yes to certain religious questions, but that doesn't necessarily mean true faith, because true faith involves, yes, a response to God's revelation in his word of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us, but it involves a heart turning. It's an experience of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, new life, new birth. You turn from self-reliance and you entirely entrust yourself from the heart to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and peace with God. So true faith joins you to Jesus Christ. You're united to him in faith, and it's in him you receive all the benefits of God's love, mercy, and loving kindness to a lost sinner. So the writer of Hebrews would want me to ask you this morning, have you begun this Christian race? That's what beginning it involves. It's more than just an emotion. It's more than just a mental saying yes to certain truths. It's a whole-hearted, whole-souled response to Jesus Christ. You unreservedly give yourself to him as your Savior and Lord and King, your prophet, priest, and King. Have you begun the Christian race? But then what kind of race is the writer here talking about then, having begun the Christian race? When he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What kind of race? Is it a sprint, 100 meters? Or more like a marathon? Like Usain Bolt, 10 seconds down the 100 meters track? Or like Kipchoge, running a marathon? Well, the word that gives us a clue here is the word endurance. Let us run with endurance. Keep going. Persevere. Though there are challenges, keep going. Though you may struggle, keep going. Obstacles, challenges, problems, growing tired. But the Christian race is a lifelong pursuit. Yes, it starts when you're born again and when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you keep trusting in Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ this morning? The writer of Hebrews is saying, you don't have the option of just calling it quits and saying, oh, I trusted in Jesus a year, 5, 10, 20 years ago, but I'm not trusting in him anymore. No, this is more like a marathon. Apparently, the key to the success of the marathon runner, Eliud Kipchoge, One journalist has said, apparently his is a really noble, serious, and respectful approach. An approach of loving the sport and of putting in the hard work. He runs with endurance. Well, let's think about the people that this letter was originally written to. There were Jewish people who were being tempted to leave Jesus, stop running, and go back to Moses. Because of persecution, because of hardship, because of difficulty, they were being tempted to stop running the race. But the writer is saying, if you're a believer, you must keep running. It's not just trusting in Jesus Christ at the beginning, and then it's up to you. No, you keep trusting. And if you don't keep trusting, what will happen? You'll fall back. You'll stop. Run the race. Which reminds us that there are times when the Christian life involves hardships. You think of some of the pictures the Bible uses for the Christian life. Paul compares the Christian life to a soldier putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6. He compares it to a boxing match, 1 Corinthians 9. To a farmer and the hard work of farming, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, all of those are pictures that involve work, keeping going. Every week, Eliud Kipchoge runs 130 miles. Every week. So next week, he's not in Kenya sitting under a tree in the shade. He's running 130 miles. And that's what the Christian life is like, says the author here. There's a reason that the Greek word for race is the word agon, where we get the English word agony from it. It demands endurance, effort, exertion. Some of you perhaps are runners. You know what this means. You know when you run hard, the sweat comes pouring off. You have to gasp for breath, your muscles ache, scream for oxygen. Now, all of that involves a truth that's counter to what many churches and preachers proclaim today. Different from many of the so-called Christian books that are around. Many would never describe the Christian life today as involving exertion. They say, come to Christ, join our church, you'll have prosperity, health, self-esteem, strength, and a wonderful life. I'm afraid of that, that even some true believers today get mistakenly taken that entitlement attitude. Think, as a Christian, I deserve health, wealth, prosperity, self-esteem. But what the writer to Hebrews says, no, the Christian life is more like running a race. If you're not a believer, start the race. Look in faith this morning to Jesus Christ. Look to him to find rest for your soul. But I'm not going to tell you it will always be easy as a believer. And if you're a believer this morning, don't fall for this false teaching that says that the Christian life is always easy. A piece of cake, a walk in the park. What did Jesus say? Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to run the race, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the Hebrew Christians knew something of this. Let me remind you of what they had been told in chapter 11 and from verse 35. Yes, they were believers in the Old Testament who obtained victory after victory, but there were others. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. It's said that the prophet Isaiah, who wrote of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, who would be bruised for our iniquities, that was what happened to him. They were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And there are times when that's the reality of the Christian race. So don't forget this truth. Don't let Joel Osteen fool you into believing that Christianity is just a means to self-esteem, self-fulfillment, prosperity, wealth, health. You beware of that sort of teaching that falsely promises you heaven on earth. No, there's a race, says the writer. Run the marathon. The Christian life involves running the race. So do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Have you begun the race by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how the race begins. But then you keep trusting and you keep turning to the Saviour and you run the race with endurance. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, as you run the race, there are encouragers. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, when Bolt and Kipchoge run, there are encouragers, fans, coaches, friends, family. When the Christian runs the race, there are encouragers, says the Bible. A great cloud of witnesses here. Not so much the idea of spectators. Not so much encouragers who are watching what we're doing. Rather, those who are bearing witness to what God has done. And as a result of being witnesses, some, as we've read in Hebrews chapter 11, some became martyrs. It's striking that our English word martyr comes from the Greek word meaning witness. Who is in this great cloud of witnesses? Well, the men and women of faith of Hebrews 11. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David. The men and women of faith, they're not spectators. And they're not armchair athletes. Because at one time they knew what it was to run this race. At one time they were participants. At one time they kept running as they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. We look back, the Messiah has come. We're in this better age, the age of fulfillment. But these witnesses, these martyrs, what they say to you and me this morning is, live by faith. Run the race. Live by faith in the perfect, complete, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, at times there are difficulties. Yes, at times there are problems. Yes, at times there are great obstacles. But keep running by faith. Run the race of faith. And these encouragers, they tell us about the goal of that life of faith. The power, the wisdom, the righteousness of faith, the blessings of faith. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. That's where the race is going. But the results of faith are worth it. Look at Abel. By faith, he offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Look at Enoch. By faith, he walked with God, and one day he was not because God took him. Look at Noah. By faith, he built an ark that saved his family. Look at Abraham. By faith, he received a promise of a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. There are men and women of faith. We are helped by understanding how they live by faith as they looked forward to the Saviour. And we are encouraged then to live by faith as we keep looking to that Saviour who has now come, our Redeemer, our great Lord and King, Jesus Christ. So the race, the encouragers, the obstacles. Spectators at a race can be a mixed blessing. When you feel your legs are giving way and your brain is too tired to carry on, sometimes supporters can give inspiration, encouragement, enthusiasm. But spectators can be an obstacle as well. The most famous example is in the 2004 Men's Olympic Marathon in Athens. There was a Brazilian runner, Vanderlei de Lima. He was quite a way out in the lead. But he lost his lead when a man called Neil Horan, who was a defrocked Irish priest, rugby tackled him, jumped over the barrier and grabbed him. And this man made a minor career out of interrupting and stopping people in sports events. But he did that in the Olympic marathon race to this Brazilian runner. And he rugby tackled him to the ground in such a way that other runners overtook him. And in the end, De Lima only finished third, although he'd been way out in front. So there can be obstacles in the race. You won't win a marathon if somebody jumps out onto the course and rugby tackles you. You won't win the race if you try to run the race in an overcoat. If you were going to run a race today in this sort of rain, you might think, I'll wear an overcoat, but you never run properly with an overcoat on. You may put on weights. I sometimes see people in the park down here running and they've got a rucksack on, which is weighted down. But they do that to train so that when they take the rucksack off, they run faster. When I lived in Swansea, near where we lived, there was one of the Welsh rugby team wings who used to run. And when he would run, he would attach to himself a harness, and on the back of the harness, a great big tractor wheel. And he would try to run along, dragging this big tractor wheel as he ran. But you can imagine, when he took the harness off and he ran without being weighed down by the tractor wheel, he ran like the wind. But you're never going to win a race wearing an overcoat. You're never going to win a race pulling a tractor wheel. Before the race, the runner takes off his baggy tracksuit, takes off any weights, nothing to slow him down. Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these encouragers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let's think about this phrase, the sin that ensnares us, sin that entangles us, sin that slows us down, sin that trips us up, sin that stops us from running. If you want to run the Christian race, you need to deal with your sins, Hebrews says. You need to repent of your sins. That's an ongoing part of the Christian life, admitting and confessing to God. And then seeking by the power of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, by his word in and at work in our lives, to stop that sin, to throw it off, to cut it off, to remove it, to get rid. Because if we don't, says Hebrews, sin will encircle and entangle and trip us up and keep us from running. Pride, greed, lust, envy, anger, addiction. Sin will trip you up, obscure your vision of heaven, weaken your desire for God, take away the desire to live by faith. And then also this other phrase, lay aside every weight. What was hindering these Jewish believers to whom this letter was first written? What was holding them back, as it were, weighing them down? Well, what was weighing them down was the tradition of their old Judaism. They were being weighed down by legalism, by tradition, by dead works. They are holding on to things from their past, holding on to the idea of the temple and an altar there, when Jesus, by his death on the cross, had made one final, finished sacrifice for sin. Holding on to priests and rituals and ceremonies and the rules of the rabbis. Throughout Hebrews, the writer keeps pointing to the Jewish believers and saying to them, look, what we have in Jesus is better. A better high priest, a better sacrifice, a better temple, a better covenant. Run the race without being weighed down by all those ceremonies and rituals from the past. Run the race now. Lay aside every weight. We know believers who've had a Roman Catholic background, and they understand what it is to lay aside certain things from the religious past. Letting go of praying to Mary, praying to the saints, salvation by works, purgatory, the Mass. We know believers who were Seventh-day Adventists and who were weighed down by the idea that salvation did involve works and all sorts of dietary requirements made essential to salvation. Believers who were once weighed down by the idea that the baptism is essential for salvation. Now, of course, the largest and most well-known group is the Roman Catholic Church. But then there are other groups, Church of Christ and others. And while believers' baptism is a matter of Christian obedience, the Bible teaches that it's not baptism that saves you. There are churches that teach baptismal regeneration, it's called, that you're made a Christian, you're born again by being baptized. Now that is preaching another gospel. It's not the gospel preached by the apostles. And this idea that you become a Christian by getting baptized, that's a false teaching that leads people astray. Baptism is a matter of Christian obedience, yes, but you're not made a Christian by being baptized. There are believers who in the past were weighed down by some of the chaotic practices linked to much of the charismatic movement. Speaking gibberish, falling backwards on the floor, laughing uncontrollably, writhing on the ground. Not now weighed down by that wild nonsense. So, false teaching can be a weight. And even things that are not necessarily sinful. I've observed over the years that sometimes people are distracted in their Christian life. And it can be almost anything. Sport, fishing, exercise, cycling, music, books, Facebook, TV, the computer, work, family, all sorts of things. And they end up putting those things before God and they're distracted. And they stop running the race. So here's the race. There are encouragers. There are obstacles. But if I can use this picture of a race, there's a finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we think about it in terms of someone like Usain Bolt or Kipchoge, we know when those men run, they run for the finish line. That's their purpose. That's their goal. Usain Bolt, when he's running the 100 meters, doesn't start wandering off to talk to people in the stands. Kipchoge, even running a marathon, he doesn't think, oh, there's a nice viewpoint over there. I'll just go off the course a bit and admire the view. No, they run for the finish line. And we've all seen people who seem to start the Christian life with a bang. And at the beginning, talk big about their faith. Seem to be involved. But where are they today? Some are gone. Some we see occasionally, but we don't see them very much anymore. They started the race, but after 50 yards, or if it's a marathon, 5 miles, stopped, or 7 miles, gasping for air, 9 miles, spitting up blood, stopped running. So think of it in terms of Jesus, the author of Hebrews is saying. Jesus himself, as he faced the cross, he prayed, Matthew 26, verse 39, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew that drinking the cup of God's undiluted wrath against our sins, what it would mean for him on the cross, to be forsaken by his Father. But then he prayed, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So he died bearing our suffering and sin and shame. He endured the cross, despising its shame. He ran the race in spite of the pain and the suffering and the cross, the crown of thorns, that abandonment as he bore our sins. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was bearing our sins. The Bible says he endured it for the joy that was set before him. He saw through the suffering, through the cross, Easter resurrection, ascension glory, the right hand of the majesty of God, the joy that awaited him. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so that means Jesus, as he lived by faith, that's amazing, isn't it? That the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, lived by faith. He did not use his divine power to overcome those who came to arrest and crucify him. He walked by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Jesus then lived by faith, and he knew the joy that was set before him. He saw that he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, that in all the nations of the world, he would draw in a people to the praise of his Father, who would trust in him and own him as Lord and Saviour and King. So are you looking to Jesus this morning and to that finish line? Keep running the race. This is what the audience of Hebrews needed to do. They needed to look to author and finisher. The source, the root, the author, the finisher, the one who gives you the power to keep going to the very end. And if you keep running, someday you will be brought to glory, the writer here is saying. There is a day when all in Christ will hear the voice of God and be raised to life everlasting. But you need to run the race. Eternal life now, and a day of resurrection glory to come. Are you running the Christian race? Or are you standing still? Actually, you can't stand still in the Christian race. If you try standing still, what will happen is you'll begin going backwards. So keep this focus in the Christian life. A focus not on things that hinder, that weigh us down. Get rid of sin. Focus on Jesus. You say to me, well, I find it hard because I love sin and find it difficult to throw off sin and the weights. Look to Jesus, the author is saying. Those things that hinder, that you find in your heart, it's difficult to part with them. Look to Jesus. The key to running this race is Jesus. You look to Jesus and you'll reach the finish line. Look to Jesus and you live. Keep looking to him. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's come to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for those who have begun this Christian race, turning from a self-centered way of life to set all their trust and hopes and longings, all their confidence and joy and delight, their great treasure in Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. And Lord, we pray that every one of us, everyone is at times facing, as well as joys and delights, facing obstacles and difficulties and trials, we pray, Lord, that you'll keep us looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to him in faith this morning, and we keep looking to him day by day. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to run this race with endurance for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to put up a closing hymn. And the idea of this hymn is to keep looking to Jesus Christ, as it says at the very beginning, look. Ye saints, saints there means Christian, people of God. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. Look to Jesus Christ. You look in faith to begin, keep looking to run the Christian life.
Oh,
Let's receive God's benediction then. Let's pray. Lord, in our hearts this morning, we crown Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our King, our Saviour, our only hope. We praise you for him who loved us, gave himself for us, and now sits enthroned in majesty, splendour, ever living to intercede for his people. And we pray that grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people today and even forevermore. Amen.